Hour three, Triple Option with RBKD. We're in San Marcos, Total Care, Primary Care. Get on out here. Going to be out here for a couple more hours. 200 Springtown Way, Suite 132. Got Brad Kellner. I'm Kevin Dunn. Rod Baber's getting married Saturday night, so he's got a week off. Well-deserved. Independent Rod, couple more days left.
Pour some out.
Pour some out. I saw you laughing at something Trevor did.
We just ran right into the table. We're trying to put on a professional radio broadcast here.
Hey, at least I didn't run into that glass.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what is it with y'all in this room at either a Total Care or a Total Men's?
So 40 Acres Austin said in the comments, BK, be careful, there's a glass wall right
there.
Yeah,
I know.
This is it. This is the one. Now, this one has, it's got some imaging on it. And so the other one was straight glass.
I still probably would have run into it. Let's be honest. I've been extra cautious, and I've actually been looking at that glass panel throughout the course of today's show just to make sure it doesn't move. Like, I'm worried it's going to move and come hit me.
It'll move a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about
this.
Not
kidding around, though. BK. So BK did run into one of these the last time. We were actually at a Total Men's, and BK ran into it, spilled barbecue sauce all over himself, and he asked me when we moved inside because of the weather. It started raining, so we got everything packed up, came inside. And he said, you're sitting right next to it. What, did you think it was going to bite you?
Yes, I did, honestly. I was very nervous, and I still am very nervous. I still feel like I'm too close. Matter of fact, I might inch this chair a few more inches away from this thing, just in case, just to be safe.
So I'm eating this turkey sandwich during the break. Really good. But I put a lot of barbecue sauce on there, and I thought, oh, man, because I believe in karma. And I got after your ass. Whenever you had your little spill,
I thought,
there's a good chance this is going to end up on my jeans or something.
Yeah, I might expedite the chances or increase the chances of that happening.
So we got some breaking news we hit last segment. We should continue to roll with this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It is official. The SEC has extended membership invitations to the University of Texas and the University of Oklahoma. Within the last half hour, the vote results came down. A 14-0 vote in favor of adding Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. And once again, KD, we're seeing 2025. When Texas and Oklahoma announced their departure from the Big 12, they said it's going to happen in 2025 once the current grants of media rights deal comes to an end. Now with the SEC official statement, they're saying the move will become effective on July 1st, 2025. With competition to begin the following academic year, so the 25-26 academic year. So for football, as of right now, according to legal terms and contracts and statements and this and that, football would start in 2025 with Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. But, you know, baseball, you'd have to wait till 2026.
Yeah.
Softball, you'd have to wait till 2026. The spring sports, of course, is what I'm getting at. You'd have to wait until 2026. I don't think anybody believes we're going to have to wait this long. The question now is, what does Bob Bowlesby and the Big 12 do to try to slow this thing down? And how much can they do to try to slow this thing down?
I think the letter to ESPN was part of that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the legal part
right,
of that,
the cease
too.
And desist that they sent yesterday. That story dropped near the end of our show yesterday. Like, how much more do they do? Bob Bowlesby went on, like, a media tour last night, almost like he had just gotten out of jail and was trying to clear his name. He was talking to every media outlet he could, basically bashing ESPN and accusing ESPN of going behind the Big 12's back to try to get some other Big 12 teams to leave to go to the American Conference so they could scrap the television deal that they had. Like, it is a mess right now.
Absolutely certain, BK.
Absolutely certain.
With all the legal stuff, you don't get absolutes a lot. Usually you'll get – but I mean, that comes off as he has tangible evidence. And ESPN denied it.
Yeah, and ESPN has come out and denied it to this point. But, I saw Dennis Dodd basically tweet that there's going to be chaos created. Like, that's what the Big 12 is going to try to do, to just make sure that this thing takes as long as possible and to make sure that the Big 12 doesn't get completely screwed. Because they know, everybody knows, when Texas and Oklahoma leave, the Big 12 is done.
Yeah.
So they want to make sure they can get as much out of this as they possibly can.
Yeah, and it goes back to Bowlesby and his clueless comments a couple weeks ago at Big 12 Media Days when he was asked about the possibility of more conference realignment. And he said, now that ship has sailed. That there's no way. I mean, maybe he's feeling good that he did do the right thing with the pandemic and they were going to play. And I think they were one of those big pieces that, hey, where are you going to go? Then Ohio State essentially had to bully the Big Ten into doing it. I mean, I don't think Texas was going to go to the Big Ten anyway, but it didn't help the Big Ten that they had that take and were on that side and then ended up reversing that. So I think the Bowlesby, I don't know if you just felt confident in that things had really changed, but if you're in a really bad marriage and you have a couple good months, you're not out of the woods. And that's what Texas and Oklahoma were with the Big 12. So the fact that he was that clueless doesn't make me think that they have any type of plan set up with those two gone to try and beat the AAC. Like, yeah. why wouldn't you go poach a couple of them, right?
That's amazing. The AAC might be the conference that really sticks the fork in what's left of the Big 12, right? When the initial report dropped and Bob Bowlesby said another conference was going after.
That was Pac-12.
Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC. ACC, right? One of the other power conferences made sense.
That's it.
And apparently it's the AAC, and Bob Bowlesby is so worried about the American Conference taking the other eight teams, or at least some of the other eight teams, that he's willing to go scorched earth and willing to take legal matters to try to make sure that the Big 12 stays around. Absolutely insane. You going to start doing the SEC chant now, Katie?
No.
Now that it's official?
Never. Never. I've done it once. 1991. Arkansas.
Yeah.
The drum. We were doing it in a mocking fashion. I totally get if Big 12 fans want to do that to Texas this time around. I'll be cool with the conference. That's fine. I've got no say in that. And I'm sure I'll grow to like it and grow to like what it'll do for Texas, hopefully. But no, I just don't ever see myself doing that. I'm just not. I think you're the same way. I've just never been really into my conference like that to where it's that big of a deal.
Dude, I hate the other teams in the Big 12 outside of Kansas because I've got an obvious rooting interest there. But, like, I don't root for those teams ever. And I know it's better for the conference if the Big 12 does well. Like, NCAA tournament, if Big 12 teams make deep runs, it's a better look for the conference.
Right.
Bowl season every year. If the Big 12 does well, better look for the conference. I have a tough time watching anybody, especially like big rivals, play and root for them. I just can't do it.
I'm with you.
So I'm not rooting for the SEC. I don't care if the SEC does well when Texas is there. SEC all of a sudden could be the worst conference in the world. I don't know. You think I care?
Yeah.
If Texas is winning, Texas is competing for conference and national championships, I don't care.
Fine with that.
About what's going on around me.
What you do realize, and I lived through the demise of the Southwest Conference, is that, because I was definitely that way as a kid. My mom would come in, and I'm watching TCU play Wyoming.
Nice.
Maybe in a bowl game, right?
Yeah, it's exciting.
And I'm going, go Wyoming. I was always rooting against Texas schools because I didn't want them to have an advantage in recruiting, right? If they've got a really good year, maybe
sure.
We lose a kid to A&M
or Tech.
It's
a great point.
Or
yeah,
something.
You're recruiting against all of those teams.
That was always my thought.
It's a great point. Mine was just pettiness. Yours is that.
Yeah, well, I had some pettiness in there, too.
I forgot who I was talking to.
Yeah, you'd be proud. There was still some Irish pettiness in there. But, yeah. No, that was really why I was doing it. What I did realize, though, is that, yeah, you don't need to be totally pro that conference, but you do need it to be healthy enough to where it can exist. Otherwise, you get caught in the mire and you get caught in that wake.
Otherwise, Texas will just leave and ruin the conference.
Right. I guess as a Texas fan, I don't have to worry about
that.
That's what Twitter
is telling me, right? Texas has now ruined three conferences, according to folks on social media.
I just love that can be – you can have that take, and whatever, that's your take, but then not recognize very quickly how that can be turned around on you. You do realize what you're saying is that Texas kept you afloat when you shouldn't have been for a long time.
Well, I don't know if they realize that.
But
they should realize that.
Okay, just making sure that that's pretty easy logic.
Yeah, I think it is. I absolutely think it is. And, look, that's part of the reason why Arkansas left the Southwest Conference when they left, right?
Yeah.
They were tired of dealing with Rice and TCU at the time and some of these small schools that just were doing absolutely nothing for them. So they left to be a part of something bigger. That's what Texas and Oklahoma are doing right now. From a business perspective, from a financial perspective, it obviously makes sense. But also, yeah, you're going to a conference that has other brands that have some weight, and you just don't have to feel like you're carrying the entire conference year in and year out.
I know you're not Rod B. Neither of us have sheets everywhere, so you may not be able to rifle through those. But I think for people that weren't listening, the numbers that you gave, that TV viewership for Texas and Oklahoma games compared to the other eight, if you do have a question on why you make that move, and also why maybe that these big – the remaining eight teams end up in the AAC and not all being dispersed to a Power Four conference.
Let me see if I can pull up those numbers. I remember one off the top of my
3.5.
head. 27 in the last 2 years, we're talking college football here, 27 of the 30 most watched Big 12 games involved either Texas or Oklahoma. The most watched game was Texas LSU in 2019. Second most watched game was Texas Oklahoma, the Red River Shootout that same year. Yeah, I think the average viewership for a Texas or Oklahoma football game was 3.5 million.
Yeah.
The average viewership for a football game involving any of the other eight teams in the conference was like 1.4 million. And the average annual viewership for an American Athletic Conference game was like 1.07 million.
So a lot closer to the eight.
Exactly. So the other eight Big 12 schools in terms of TV revenue, in terms of TV eyeballs, were way closer than the American, which is not a Power 5 conference, which has – who's the biggest football brand in the American? UCF?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody? Memphis? Any historic program?
No.
Like anyone with any sort of history? So the fact that the other eight Big 12 schools were a little bit closer to the American than they were to Texas and Oklahoma, I think tells you what you need to know about how much weight Texas and Oklahoma have been pulling in this conference for a long time now. And Texas has been really bad, too.
Yeah, right.
And they're still generating that type of viewership and that type of revenue.
Yeah. No, Texas has been really bad, and at least for them, and they've still been able – they're still a draw. And that's also why Texas, the longevity of them, doesn't really matter what's been on the field. You can certainly – and you'd be right if you rip on Texas for what they've been on the football field the last 10 years.
Yeah.
That doesn't change the value, the resources, and namely the brand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you this, KD. I think best-case scenario for Texas and Oklahoma is to get to the SEC as soon as possible.
By the way, Houston probably does have the best tradition, but there's not a lot of tradition there.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah.
Unless there's someone we're forgetting. UConn football, don't sleep on them. Actually, you can't sleep on them. Let me ask you this. So for Texas and Oklahoma, best-case scenario, they get to the SEC as soon as they possibly can, right?
Yep.
Best-case scenario also is the other eight member institutions currently in the Big 12 find landing spots.
Yes.
Because if that happens, Texas and Oklahoma won't have to pay the around $70 million exit fee that it would take for them to leave the Big 12 for the SEC before the contract expires in 2025.
And sooner the better.
If that doesn't happen between now and next summer when the academic year comes to an end, if you're Texas, do you pay that money? Do you ask ESPN, like, hey, just LHN, all the money you owe us for LHN, just make that be our exit fee, and we could take care of Oklahoma, too. Just pay our exit fee so we can get to the SEC.
Yeah.
Like, does it get to a point, whether it's next year or 2 years down the road, where if somehow, some way, the other Big 12 teams are staying put, and maybe they're trying to add some teams to the Big 12 to keep it afloat, if you're Texas and Oklahoma, do you just say, we can't be a part of this at all. We've got to get out of here right now. Even if we can't avoid paying that money, we'll pay the money so we can leave.
2023 is the latest that I would have this thing start. So 2022 would be ideal. That's probably what you do, BK, and that's where you hope they do get soft landing spots and this whole thing just dissolves and there is nothing to pay mm-hmm. because there is nothing left there. But you could mix that with, we know that ESPN with the buyout, I mean, this works out so well with it being ESPN that has the deal with the SEC, ESPN wanting this to happen, and ESPN having the deal with Texas and the Longhorn Network with 10 years left, and I think the 160 to where they could swallow a lot of that. Ideally for them and ideally for everyone, I think even if that was the case, they would still take this thing to court. I gave the numbers a couple of days ago. Maryland in the ACC buyout to mm-hmm. go to the Big Ten. That was $52.5 million that they owed. Goes to court, they end up paying about $31.5 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
That helps.
It helps.
Look, Texas can afford the $70 million. Oklahoma can afford the $70 million. Hell, either school can pay both buyouts if they really wanted to. Like, someone would raise the money to make this happen. But we're still talking about millions of dollars here.
Yeah.
That you could potentially save by going to court. Worth it.
The other thing, too, is locally with the legislature, I'm curious, not in Oklahoma as much, but in Texas, because I've seen...
They have legislature up there? Legislation in Oklahoma?
Yeah, they do. They've got both.
Thanks.
Yeah, but they've got But you've got obviously Baylor and Tech reps, and one of them was actually trying to block this thing, but it's got to actually be up for vote, right? And so he's getting in touch with Greg Abbott and trying to speed this process up. Well, Greg Abbott is going to be, you know, Greg Abbott is a huge Texas football fan.
Yes.
A big Texas
fan. Was it Bijan Robinson there at the
recently
Capitol within the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, he was.
It took me a long time to come up with the word Capitol. That's bad, dude.
You really are just stuck on sports.
That's a word I should know. That's a building I should know. It's like 5 minutes
from
where
I live. You have it on
your
phone, I think.
Yeah, it is actually the background of my phone.
Yeah.
Capitol. Spelled with an O.
I wouldn't peek in there. You just had it up earlier.
That's a little weird, dude. Yeah. I feel like I got to be CeeDee Lamb here and take my phone away.
Where's your other
phone? You don't want to know.
So,
not sure what that means.
So that's maybe another. I don't think that's going to block anything, but I do think there are going to be some bumps in the road and some obstacles to get around. And look, people are really pissed off with that. The point that this rep made was essentially that, look, even though it's the Texas school system, that affects Baylor, it affects Texas Tech, it affects Houston, and those taxpayers are still spending money or still paying money to support those systems. So if it's going to hurt those other schools, this does need to be part of the decision for UT to jump ship.
Can I give some love to Kevin Eltife?
I'll give a lot of love to Eltife, and also Jay Hartzell.
Yeah, both of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if I knew either of their names before last year. Honestly, I probably should have. But
I think Hartzell likes the show. He follows me on Twitter.
He does to me, too. Yeah, I know he was the dean of the business school. Then he was interim president after Fenves announced that he was taking the job at Emory. And look, Hartzell's done a phenomenal job. I think it's huge to have your school president care about athletics.
Yeah.
Because Greg Fenves just didn't. That's why he left Texas for Emory.
Right.
That surprised a lot of like sports fans. It's like,
what?
University of Texas for Emory? It's like a D3 school with like 10 athletics programs. What are you doing?
He had to fake liking football when he first got the job. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm a big pigskin guy. It's like, no, you're not, you egghead. Shut up.
Did he actually say pigskin guy?
No, okay. But that's the way I took it.
You call him an egghead on air and tell him to shut up? I'm surprised you still have your job after that.
He's not the president anymore.
That's true. Well, now you can say it.
I didn't say that about
Hartzell.
Okay,
I wasn't sure if you had said it.
I'm going to DM Hartzell later.
Yeah, just to make sure we weren't talking about you, but it's lockstep. Like Texas and Oklahoma, we've used that word a lot to describe them over the last.
By the way, I don't hate Fenves. Fenves was fine.
Okay,
but he wasn't egghead.
But he wasn't a sports guy.
No.
So he was not like he didn't see the need to do stuff like this. Meanwhile, Hartzell, CDC, Eltife, all of those guys are clearly rowing the boat in the same direction.
Yes.
They clearly all care a lot about sports.
Yep.
They know how much sports can impact the rest of the university. This is not like they're only focusing on sports and that's that. Now they realize, like, once again, this pays the bills for everything else that happens on the UT campus. So they are doing things to position not only the athletics programs for success, but the entire university for success. And I feel like moves like this don't happen unless all three guys are in unison. And it doesn't matter if it's a Texas, if it's anywhere. Like, if you've got the president and the AD butting heads and they don't feel the same way about certain things with the athletic department, then things just aren't going to get done. And the fact that you've got three guys with a ton of power who are all, once again, in unison with pretty much every decision, whether it's Sark hired for football, whether it's Chris Beard hired for basketball, whether it's the move to the SEC, like everybody being in lockstep like this is huge, and it makes your athletic department incredibly healthy. And it feels like, I mean, I know what the loss had, and I know the relationship that he had with Bill Powers, and I know just how unified everybody was there, but man, it feels like we're getting close to that as a department, and that's great news if you're a Texas fan.
That's very well said, and I think you're dead on. And it's funny, speaking of DeLoss, and he did great things here and had a good relationship with some presidents, and Powers would be one of them. I was a huge Bill Powers fan. That when he talked about the BBs in the box, you know, I think a lot of times what he was talking about, and certainly the way we interpreted that as fans, was, oh, you're talking about the big money donors. You're talking about the 20 billionaires, where that can get a little bit too mixed up with egos and, hey, I want to go this direction. I want to go that direction.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going this direction. Well, I'm a billionaire. I get everything in life. So being told no is a little strange for me. Part of what I think, when I hear that now, either he was talking about, or you could also replace it as he's talking about, is those three. Who's the athletic director? Who's the president? And who is the Kevin Eltife in this situation? Mm-hmm. who's gonna kind of gonna be able to be the person to monitor those money guys.
I'm glad you brought that up. That might be the toughest part of the gig.
Oh my god,
just keeping those dudes and dudettes happy.
People don't say no to them. They haven't gotten no in years. Everything is a yes.
Yeah,
and life is really anything they want.
Feels that way. And yeah, I don't know what's happening. I'm not a part of those meetings. I would love to be a fly on the wall for one of those meetings.
Oh, it'd be fun, yeah.
But it's working right now, and that is a big part of why this is all going down and why it feels like the entire department feels healthier than it's been, maybe ever, but definitely
Agreed.
In a long time.
Yeah, the only next step is you're joining the SEC. The compliance department needs to loosen
up
a little bit.
You can't get rid of it. Okay.
Well, but we talked about it on EGAT a little bit. They've said no just as a reactionary no for 30 years. There need to be a lot more yeses or else you will be behind. The good thing is you can make the move to the SEC now and not have to cheat with the black market nearly as much as you used to. You've got name, image, and likeness, but you have to be able to say yes to the name, image, and likeness.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to volunteer to head the compliance department at UT. I'll take care of everything.
I love it. You know what? I don't know if we need to go that loose, but we need to go more that direction.
I'll take care of everything. I'll be all very right. strict. Okay?
Be on probation.
Very, very strict.
But probation of what? There are no rules right now.
It's all good, baby.
Give me the forgiveness.
It's all good.
I'm not asking for permission.
Yeah, I'm going to ask for forgiveness, guy. Absolutely. All right, we're going to continue to talk about this. We have to. I feel like we'll get destroyed if we don't. And we want to talk about
this. There's still so much to get.
It's the biggest story in sports right now. It's official. Texas and Oklahoma have been accepted into the SEC. Once again, it becomes effective July 1st, 2025. That's what the SEC statement said. That's what Texas and Oklahoma said in their respective statements earlier this week. We're trying to figure out how quickly this thing can actually go down. And we'll debate when we return.
You pick something that you want in 20 – anything you want, a car, I'll buy it for you if this happens in 2025.
Oh, man. Well, now I got to make some phone calls.
Oh, now you're going to try and root for this.
I'm going to try to rig this thing just to make sure. All right, Bob Bowlesby, line one, coming your way. We are at Total Care Primary Care in San Marcos, Texas. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. Come out and see us today if you live down south. And go to any Total Men's or Total Care Primary Care facility if you need anything. If you need COVID tests, if you need physicals. Once again, we're getting close to school starting up, which means youth sports is getting close to starting back up. If you need those physicals, Total Men's or Total Care Primary Care, they've got your back. There's got to be a location near you. Just go to the website, totalmens.com, for more info. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. He is Kevin Dunn. I am Brad Kellner. No Rod Babers today, but we'll continue the conversation when we return Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. Don't go anywhere. So much happening in sports right now.
I know. What did we get to?
Unbelievable. Of course, the biggest news surrounding these parts, Texas and Oklahoma are officially heading to the SEC. The 14 current member institutions of the Southeastern Conference voted unanimously to accept Texas and Oklahoma into the conference. As of right now, that becomes effective July 1st, 2025. Obviously, we're expecting it to happen way before then, but every step that needed to happen has happened. Texas and Oklahoma informed the Big 12 they're leaving. They informed the SEC they want to join, and the SEC has accepted the two schools. So the first 16-team super conference in college sports appears to be upon us. We're just trying to figure out exactly when Texas and OU will play in the SEC. You also have trade happenings going on in multiple sports. KD, we'll get to some Major League Baseball stuff because the deadline in Major League Baseball is tomorrow at 3 o'clock, so we're seeing crazy activity right now.
That was like probably happening when I was doing one and done.
There's a report out there from Woj that says the Lakers are close to acquiring Russell Westbrook.
Whoa!
So you might have a pretty blockbuster trade in the NBA happening as we speak. There's also a report that says, speaking of Oklahoma, the Lakers are in talks to try to acquire Buddy Hield from Sacramento.
Okay.
Which both of those guys would really help.
Yep.
Really damn good players. Major League Baseball, your Cubbies are involved with some trade rumors. Apparently Anthony Rizzo is joining Joey Gallo with the New York Yankees. Maybe Chris Bryant's going to be on the move. There's a lot going on in the world of sports right now, KD.
I thought Rizzo was going to the Red Sox if he was going to go anywhere, and I figured he was going to be on the move. Just goes to show you the Yankees. We talked about big market stuff. The Yankees are always buyers. This is not a good Yankees team.
No.
I mean, I don't – look, there's a good chance the Yankees don't get in the playoffs. And I understand with Gallo, you get him for the next year. I understand that their numbers, left-handed numbers, are just atrocious. You know, I mean, really, really low. But to get both those guys, there's going to be a lot of swing and miss in that lineup. There's going to be a lot of power in that lineup, too. I get that.
Yeah, the Yankees 14th in the American League in terms of runs scored per game. They also lost 14-0 today.
Unbelievable.
To Tampa Bay. So they pick up Joey Gallo from the Rangers last night. They pick up Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs today. Chris Bryant could be on the move as well. A lot of happenings in the world of sports. We are out at Total Care Primary Care in San Marcos. A shout-out to Javier and Moses,
yeah.
A couple of our fans who live down here who came out to say what's up. If you're in the area or can get to the area by 7 o'clock, we would love to see you. We've got some koozies. We've got some stickers. Barbecue sandwiches from Smoky Moe's that our friends at Total Care are giving away. So you can get a little dinner if you stop by as well.
And BK did not spill it yet.
I've not spilled it yet.
That's a nice shirt, too.
I appreciate that disclaimer of yet because there's still a chance it happens.
We got time.
Okay, I might be grabbing one of these to go.
I think I am, too.
Eating anything in the car is dangerous. Eating something with barbecue sauce in the car, especially dangerous. I just realized, though, during the last commercial break, and I'm about to tweet this out. I feel like it's dumb to do both. I feel like it's one or the other. Dude, the best part of joining the SEC is that whenever Texas loses a game, we can just tell people we didn't want to be there.
Oh, yeah.
That, to me, is the most SEC bit ever. Like, even more than the SEC chants.
Right.
We didn't want to be there, especially come bowl season.
Yeah.
When the SEC loses a game, that cracks me up so much. And, like, they could be in the same exact bowl game next year. I'm talking to you, Georgia. Like, when Georgia lost to Texas, what do we hear from Georgia fans?
Didn't want to be there.
Well, next year.
What do we hear from just SEC? We heard it from Aggies.
Didn't want to be there. Yeah, of course, the Aggies are going to – no surprise there. But then the next year, Georgia goes to the same bowl. They barely miss the playoff. They go to the Sugar Bowl. They beat Baylor, and they're, like, bragging about
it.
Like, they're, oh, Sugar Bowl win? That's nice. That's
big
cool.
Sugar Bowl win.
Oh, okay, so you wanted to be there this year. Oh, I'm going to love that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go full SEC on that. I'm not doing the SEC chant. You can bet your ass the first time Texas loses to an inferior opponent. Didn't want to be there.
Yep.
Any sport.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't want to be there.
Any sport.
Yep.
Hey, I thought about this last night. Did you watch any swimming last night?
I did. I watched a lot of swimming last night.
So Caleb, was it Dressel?
Dressel.
Who's just a badass.
Yeah, it reminds me of me in the pool.
Yeah, I bet. And by the way, wife's not too bad looking. She was a swimmer too.
Reminds me of me also.
That's going to be a good looking kid who can swim.
Yeah.
A couple of them. But it was cool to watch that. And there have been a couple swimmers that have reminded me just how good Florida's swim team is.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Campbell brought it up yesterday. I mean, there's going to be sports like that. It's going to be loaded everywhere.
I trust Eddie Reese.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he's just dominated the Big 12. He's dominated all of swimming and diving forever.
Yeah, it's one national championship.
But, yeah, there are three men's swimming and diving programs in the Big 12.
Right.
I don't know how many there are in the SEC. I know there are more than three.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some damn good ones there, too.
Auburn.
So it gets a little tougher. They say iron sharpens iron. And look, in most sports, the leap from the Big 12 to the SEC will make life tougher for Texas.
Yeah.
There are some sports where, like, the Big 12's been better. Men's basketball sticks out to me the most.
Yep.
I can't lie and sit here and tell you I know everything about every single athletic program and what each conference is like. But football's going to be tougher in the SEC. No doubt about that. Baseball's going to be tougher in the SEC.
Yep.
No doubt about that. You could argue... You know, women's basketball, Baylor's been so dominant, they've been one of the best teams ever, but Kim Mulkey just left for the SEC.
Yeah.
And you've got Tennessee, and you've got some historically really good programs in the SEC as well. I think women's basketball is going to be tougher. Softball's really damn good in the SEC, too. And Oklahoma,
is
the
coming.
Team that's dominated the Big 12, is going to the SEC
great
as well.
Point.
So, like most of the sports, it feels like the SEC is tougher. So, Texas has to be on its P's and Q's. But you can't not feel good about everything except for football right now. And maybe you feel good about football. Like, if you're a believer in Sark, hopefully we see some things before Texas moves to the SEC, whenever that happens, to where we're not worried about the step up in competition.
Right.
Going to the SEC. We're not asking questions about, well, you've only won this conference, this Big 12 conference, three times in 25 years, and you expect to go to that conference and win it more. Like, hopefully we're more confident about what this football team is, but it's good that Texas just feels like they're in a great spot. It feels like they've got the right coaches in place just about everywhere. The facilities have all been upgraded to match some of the best programs in college sports. It just feels like Texas should be going into the SEC, whether it's next year, 2 years, 4 years, with a ton of confidence.
I totally agree, and I think they're in a good spot in all those sports. they're in a good spot with football. I mean, I do think Sark's the right hire. I think Sark's going to be really good. He's going to have to grow a little bit, but he's already done that. I mean, there are going to be some things. He didn't nail everyone on the coaching staff.
You're not talking about physically growing, right?
No, not physically growing.
I don't know if you can expect that.
Just growing as a coach and understand as a head coach and understanding, okay, here's some things I need to do. I think he's smart enough, open-minded enough to be able to make those adjustments, and every coach has to do that. I mean, hell, we see Saban, who's the best of all time, still making adjustments, right? You've got to be fluid with the whole situation, and especially how this game changes so damn quickly. So I like that hire. They're just not ready right now. I mean, we if you want to go back to hornfm.com, BK and I, for about 20 minutes, went over the things we're worried about with this football team, and we could have gone the whole hour.
More questions than answers.
Yes.
Like,
I'm talking this football team right now.
I felt better going into last year than I do going into this year.
Yeah.
That was knowing that Tom Herman was the coach.
Right.
I just figured with Sam Ellinger as a senior and
I did too.
Texas
right.
had a ton of guys coming back. Yeah. And I knew it was COVID, which obviously affected the new coaching staff, but I felt like the new coaches that Herman brought were really, really good.
Yeah.
It just felt like there were less questions last year. You might have disagreed at the time, but I think if you disagree with me now, it's hindsight.
No, I agree with you at the time.
Yeah, so it's,
I don't know if you're talking to me or the listener.
I don't know who I was talking to. I was talking to myself, actually.
Okay,
I forgot you were here, dude.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no doubt. But, yeah, he, obviously there are questions with this football team. And, man, there's a chance for Texas to go into the SEC with so much momentum in this sport. Feels like they've got it in every sport, but in this sport, too. That's the big moneymaker. That's what people are going to care about, going to focus on the most. Big year. Especially if this is the last year for Texas in the Big 12. Big year, big game against Arkansas coming up September 11th. A chance to really be able to sell this program to a ton of different people.
Yeah, and a lot of those people are going to be football recruits. Yeah. And I'm really hoping, optimistic, and just curious how quickly that turns around. I mean, I would think I saw a Texas coach give the eyes on Twitter. You know, what do we call those? Is the weird eyes? The bug eyes?
Oh, not the eyes of Texas?
No.
Okay.
Just the
emoji.
The eye emoji.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, watch out. I don't think they say it like that as they're doing it.
I don't think anyone ever says anything like that.
Well, that's the way I hear it, so
okay, well,
deal with it.
I'm not going to.
Or just run into this glass.
Okay, there's no need.
Next time, I'm going to be actually throwing you into the glass. but I thought in the whatever the tweet was, you know, there were some big dogs on campus. This is definitely going to help in football. You can't tell me that was not only it's part of the sales pitch for A&M and for other SEC schools, but it's part of the negative recruiting that you get. And that's a narrative that is true to a large degree, but also was just pushed even more as a narrative where it's like, no, you can actually – the Big 12 does have NFL draft picks.
No, it's twofold, how it'll help Texas, right?
Yeah.
It'll help Texas. It'll hurt Texas's recruiting rivals.
Yep.
That's a double whammy right there. We'll continue to talk about it. What a day in sports. If we have any more trade rumors in baseball or basketball, we'll let you know. Chris Bryant could be on the move. Anthony Rizzo is going to the Yankees. Joey Gallo was traded there last night. The Astros may be adding another piece or two before tomorrow comes through. And, of course, Texas and Oklahoma headed to the SEC.
Here's my prediction. Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo are going to be able to fly together to their next place. They're not going to be on the same team, but they can fly there together.
The Mets?
Yeah.
I like that. I don't know why I acted like I accomplished something there. We're going to break. It's the triple option with RBKD. More conversation when we return. Once again, Total Care, Primary Care. Come out and see us. We'll be here until 7 o'clock, the San Marcos location. You probably need to know that. But more sports and more fun coming your way up next.
Welcome back. Triple option. RBKD.
Are you
going to
say words, or are you just going to do that?
Oh, wasn't me. That was Trevor.
Oh, okay.
I see Trevor's been using the mic today, so Trevor's having a little by little.
Little by little. I got to fill in some cross
on here. This is Triple Option with RBKD. We are hanging out here in San Marcos. Had a good time. We've had multiple listeners come by and say, hey, that's always cooler for us than it is for them. Total Care, Primary Care. Going to be out here for about another hour, so you can come by and say hi. 200 Springtown Way, it's Suite 132, and it is Total Care, Primary Care, San Marcos. Rod will be back next week. He's getting married.
Just because he's getting married doesn't mean he's all of a sudden going to be bad, dude.
No, he already was.
Oh, okay.
The fact that he was getting married.
Yeah.
By the way, I was thinking about it. He's kind of the opposite of this whole everyone acting like it's going to be 2025 when this whole thing, this new SEC starts, mm-hmm. because of legal stuff, and we know it's going to be a lot sooner. He did the opposite of that. where he proposed and probably said, oh, we'll get married pretty soon. And he had already held off the proposal for a long time.
Yeah.
Where he was getting a lot. I know when he'd go out, people were like, hey, when's this going to happen? It's like, God, we just let me do it?
Mm-hmm.
But they were together for a long time. He delayed it. This looks like it's going to be delayed. There's no way it will be.
I don't think there's any chance. Nice transition there, sir. You know, we said it yesterday, and I'm going to stick by it today. And I don't have anything concrete that really backs up this take. It's just from research I've done and from some people I've talked to behind the scenes. If I had to guess when this thing goes down, I think it's next year. Like, I think this is the last academic year that Texas is a member of the Big 12. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know if it's expedited by the other eight Big 12 schools finding homes between now and next year, or if it's ESPN paying the LHN money that it owes Texas to use that as the exit fee for Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC. I don't know how it's going to go down, and I know Bob Boolsby's going to try to delay it as much as he possibly can. I think that's clear and obvious with his actions over the last 24 hours or so. But, yeah, I legitimately think this is the last year for Texas in the Big 12.
I'm with you.
The last time Texas will play Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, West Virginia, TCU, Baylor, any of those teams, the Kansas schools for the foreseeable future, which is it's crazy. Like, that part of me hadn't hit me. I don't know when that's going to hit me. It might be 2 or 3 years into the SEC before I realize, oh, my God, we're never going to, like, play these teams again.
Yeah.
Like, it took me forever to figure out that we're not playing A&M again. Like, when A&M left for the SEC 10 years ago, it probably took me 5 years to realize, like, oh, my God, like, this is not a thing.
Yeah.
This might never be a thing again.
I had that with Houston, TCU, SMU at the end of the
Southwest days. Yeah, so it's just like that part of it is – all of this is so bizarre. What am I talking about? This is all so weird. But I'm going to go into every single Texas football and basketball and baseball and softball and every single sport event this year thinking that this is the last time we're going to see this team for a while.
Yeah.
Except for Oklahoma, of course.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. And it'll be weird. I think Tech especially because Tech is one of those that's been there, and you could also say Baylor. I mean, I've played, you know, they've been playing them my whole life. And so, and you know, obviously Oklahoma, but they're going to continue that. So I've had breaks from everyone. So growing up as a Southwest Conference fan, I've had breaks, hell, even from TCU, obviously, had breaks from a lot of these schools. But those are the ones my whole life that they've played. It'll be weird. I think I'm going to miss it because I just got so used to it. Mm-hmm. I got used to playing Tech every year.
Dude, I said this a few weeks.
Every sport.
I shouldn't say a few weeks ago. God, it's felt like we've been talking about this for weeks.
It has.
It's been 8 days since this thing dropped. I'm going to miss the format of the Big 12 more than the teams of the Big 12.
Play everyone.
I love the Big 12 format.
Agreed.
With 10 teams. Now, the name of the conference obviously makes no sense, but I really enjoy the fact that, you play everybody every year in football.
Yeah.
And in basketball, you play everybody home and home. And in baseball, you get to play everybody as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. Like, that to me is important. You get to see everybody every year. I wish the teams were better. I wish some of the road trip destinations were better. There were things I would obviously change about the Big 12, but just the 10-team format I think was kind of unique and kind of cool, and obviously you're not going to get that. Now, hopefully, the new SEC is better than the SEC that Texas A&M walked into, where it's like, God, has A&M gone to Athens yet? A&M's been in the SEC for 10 years, and, like, they still haven't gone and played at every single team in the conference.
No.
Or vice versa. Like, I don't think every single team in the SEC has played in College Station.
Just, right.
Like, that's ridiculous. I would not want that to happen at all, unless it's Alabama. I'm cool with never playing
that. I'm about to say, if we want to play Vandy every year, I'm good with
that. Now, hopefully, like, obviously there's going to be 16 teams and not 10, so you can't have that same Big 12-style format that you've had. But hopefully the teams get to play each other every couple or every third year to where you actually feel like you're seeing everybody in your conference, because I think that's good for the conference. I think that just makes things more enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, I'm going to miss that. Have you thought any more about how you want to see this play out ideally for you if you could pick it? Do you do the pod system? Is that pod system still at four, you know, a pod of four, they're in the SEC West, a pod of four, they're in the SEC East, because they're still going to want a title game. There's too much money with that.
Yeah, and look, if they could get a conference playoff, they would want that.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of players probably wouldn't want that. A lot of coaches probably wouldn't want that, and that's just a burden, an extra burden on your student-athletes. But money talks. That's spearheading this entire move. That's why this thing is all going down. So, man, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go to the four-pod system. Maybe because it makes sense, and I think it does make a lot of sense, but also because you can create like a mini playoff for your conference championship. And People might complain about it, but hell, I'll be watching that.
Yeah.
You kidding me? I'm absolutely going to watch that.
I'm definitely going to watch it. So I mean, it'll be best for the players.
So do you think it'll be best? Like, would you prefer the four pods or would you prefer the two division type bit? Like, the beauty of the four pods is you get to do what I'm talking about. You get to play the other teams more often than you would if you had two divisions and you had to play every team in your division every year.
Right.
Because if you're going 9-game conference schedule, you've got 8 teams in your division. That means you're playing 7 of them every year. You only get 2 crossover games per season.
I totally get that. And in terms of scheduling, I think it's better to do the pod system. My question is, you're not going to have 4 pods go play in an SEC conference championship. How do you decide those 2?
You could just go with college football playoff rankings, like the 2 highest teams, regardless of pod. They don't have to be East versus West. It's just like the 2 highest ranked teams play for the conference title. Could do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's a question that SEC folks are going to have to answer between now and 2025,
yep.
I guess.
Didn't that same thing screw Texas in 08?
Yes, it did, but there were only 2 teams that could play for a national title in 08. So, like, if the playoff existed in 08, I think Texas would have kind of go back and look, but made the 4-team playoff. If there were a 12-team playoff, which I think will happen within the next couple of years, I think that's obvious, then – yeah, I think it's going to be fine. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. Hell, you might prefer that. We've seen SEC teams. We saw Bama 1 year, like, not make it to their conference championship game and make the playoff.
Yeah.
Like, they could have lost their conference title game. If they lost that, they wouldn't have made the playoff. So it could be a gift to get screwed in that sort of scenario. So we'll continue to talk about it. Trying to unpack it all. So many different things to hit. A lot of meat left on the bone. Texas and Oklahoma headed to the SEC. We'll give some updates. More Major League Baseball trades going down, including something that just went down in the American League West. So you Rangers and Astros fans, if you're still a Rangers fan watching, good for you. You Astros fans, we'll keep you posted with that. Also reports that Russell Westbrook could be headed to the L.A. Lakers. So much to get to. We'll get to all of it here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on the Horn.